This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Happy Friday, April 10th. We're starting off the weekend Saturday morning, April 11th. Glad you are joining us here on WGCL. Jim Inman here in the studio for you for the next hour or so, give or take a little bit. And hope you had a good week. I think I did. Hopefully you did as well. Mr. Piller is on assignment, but should be back in the not-too-distant future. I believe next week he's slated to make his reappearance here on the Bloomington Review. But I'm flying solo for the next hour. Don't touch your dial. I've got good stuff. I promise. I absolutely promise. It is the last weekend before tax day. Have you done your taxes yet? I self-admitted I am always a last-minute kind of guy, but I wasn't too bad this year. I actually had them done last weekend, and fortunately had a little bit of money coming back as opposed to having to pay a lot of money back to the government. But with the wonderful world of technology and the ability to go online and do things like that, you know, if you haven't got your taxes done, you're starting to crunch time just a little bit. I will tell you from past experience of working in the investment world with David Hayes from here in Bloomington and Comprehensive Financial and the host of Your Money here on WGCL, it's not a bad idea to have a CPA take a look at your taxes every now and again, especially if you've never done it before, because there may be things that it's not necessarily that you're doing wrong, but it may be that there are things that you're not doing that could benefit you overall. So that's my only plug, not plugging anybody in particular or anything. It's simply saying, think about having a professional do them, somebody with some initials behind their last name. So that being said, tax day is upon us Wednesday the 15th. Hopefully you get everything lined out and done. You can file an extension, of course, but who wants to do that and have to deal with it in the nice, beautiful summer weather that's not too far around the corner? Have you been dealing with all this rain we've had over the last couple of days? I feeling a little bit waterlogged. And what night? Wednesday night, I came home from work and had nothing really going on and decided to do a little bit more intense cleaning than I normally do, almost the spring cleaning kind of thing. Reason being is the ants have taken over my kitchen and my bathroom connected to my bedroom in my house. Not like a massive amount, but there's just one or two on the go all the time. Broke out the vacuum, was sweeping them up in the kitchen as best I can and everything, and realized, okay, there's got to be something going on that's causing this. So here's your tip for the week if you are experiencing the ant problem, and largely this is because of the wet ground and they can't get around and do their ant thing in the world. So if you have ants coming into your house, around your windows, there's a couple things that you can use that is very simple, found it online, worked well for me. One is baby powder. They don't like crossing baby powder for whatever reason. I don't know if it's the talc in there or the scent or something like that. The other is cinnamon. And I went and bought a large bottle of ground cinnamon. It was less than a dollar. Took it home, sprinkled it inside the windowsills in the kitchen and in the bathroom with the intent of blocking them out. And you've got to put a good coat on there. You don't want to leave any empty spots. But I can tell you that within about 4 hours, ants have completely disappeared. So if you're looking for one of those old wives' tales kinds of things, if you don't want to spend a lot of money on ant traps or whatever the case may be, or in my case, I didn't want to put poison down or spray ant killer or anything because I have three Labradors at home, and I didn't want them nosing around, sniffing in anything, licking anything, ingesting anything that would cause them any harm. So the cinnamon has worked. Highly recommend it. When it gets wet, it can stain. So if you've got anything white, be careful because when you clean it up, especially if you try and vacuum it, there will still be some residue. So anyway, there's your spring tip from yours truly, Mr. Inman, about how to keep the ants away during this wet spring that has started off here in southern Indiana. Hopefully everybody had a good Easter last weekend, got some family time in and some chocolate and all of that. And of course, Monday we went to the grocery store and the Easter candy is half off. So it is still just as good on the day after Easter as it is the day of. Throughout the show, we got a lot of things to talk about. Of course, your local news and sports and weather and updates and all those kinds of things. Hopefully you tune in here to WGCL for the big NCAA Final Four and the craziness that occurred with Kentucky and them losing in the Final Four, and then the big game with Duke over Wisconsin. I think that there were a lot of people who were pulling for a Big Ten team, and didn't quite work out, but it was a very nice weekend of basketball up in Indianapolis, and hopefully some of our listeners were able to get up there and enjoy the Final Four experience as well. So we'll talk a little bit about more about that in sports. Plenty of news to talk about as well. Long-term local business is kind of up in the air right now, and another local business in the same arena is coming back on board, so we'll talk about that in just a little bit. April is also National Donate Life Month, and this goes into the idea of organ donation. And if you know me, you know that my primary position in the world, my career right now, is with the Children's Organ Transplant Association. They're down on Tap Road, and we do fundraising for kids all over the country who need life-saving transplants. You may know also that my father was a heart transplant recipient as well. So the idea of organ donation and transplantation is one very close to me. So I'm going to share a little bit about organ donation and donate life and things that tie in with that, just so you as a listener has a little bit of an idea of what is involved in organ donation, maybe answer some questions, answer some misconceptions, or clear up some misconceptions that you might have experienced or heard about, and talk about that. Also, a little bit of a story also this week that we'll talk about later on. 25 years ago was the passing of Ryan White. He was an Indiana teenager who passed away in 1990 from hemophilia. He was a HIV patient that contracted that through a blood transfusion. And it made national news, and this is in the days before cell phones, before Facebook, before Twitter, before social media, before any way of communicating really broadly aside from the old school newspapers and television stations. 25 years ago, Elton John, Michael Jackson, Barbara Bush all came to Indiana to honor and celebrate the life of Ryan White. So we'll talk a little bit about that history lesson as well in just a little bit. Plenty of sports to discuss as well, and there's just a lot of good stuff. So glad you're joining us for the next hour. If we got your weather forecast here in just a couple of minutes. So don't forget, of course, WGCLradio.com. We're streaming there 24/7. Check us out online. You can also catch up on our past shows as well under the local shows programming. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. That has all of your local information about our show. So check that out. Like us, follow us, tweet us, comments, anything like that. Just don't make fun of my hairline because I'm sensitive. That being said, we're going to take a break. When we come back, get you some news and weather updates. Plenty to talk about. Stay with us. It's Jim Inman for the next hour here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here on AM 1370 WGCL and 96.1 on the FM side of things. And of course, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, you can always go to WGCLradio.com. We're streaming over there as well. So if you miss any part of the show, head over there, check it out. We usually get the replay broadcast up Saturday midday, usually by noon or so, after the replay on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, or excuse me, 8 o'clock, right before Your Money with David Hayes at 9 a.m. Weather forecast for the weekend, not looking too shabby. Friday night, tonight, mostly clear with a low around 38. We're still in the early stages of spring, so there's still the cool nights here in southern Indiana. Saturday, sunny with a high near 61. Get out and enjoy the farmer's market downtown. Saturday night, hard to believe we're saying this word, patchy frost before 9 p.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy, low around 41 on Saturday evening. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 70 degrees. All your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio. And I will preface it also by saying that the forecast early next week is looking at about 40 to 50% chance of rain most every day. So as nice as the weekend is going to be, yeah, you might want to wash your car just to get some of the dirt and crud off if you haven't done it for a while, but don't spit and polish the thing just yet because there's going to be more rain coming next week. As I told you in the last segment, a couple of businesses, one is coming back and the other one in the future is looking a little different. The Village Deli is going to be opening up this coming week on April 17th. Bob Costello, who's the owner of the deli, said Wednesday this week he hopes to open the eatery before too long. Grand opening tentatively scheduled for Friday, April 17th. Of course, the fire at the Kirkwood establishment took place at the end of January. Smoke damaged the interior of the restaurant. There was minimal water damage and electrical wiring as well. No cause was immediately determined, but they have put up the sign that they are hiring right now, which is always a good sign. And hopefully the big pancakes and all the love that comes from Village Deli will be available in the not-too-distant future. But on the other side of the coin, a very sad story, not too far down the road. Wee Willie's on the south side, the wonderful Wee Willie's, the business that has no sign on the building, so to speak. The main man there, Roy Wathan, passed away on Easter Sunday. And he spent most of his 36 years as a server, short order cook, and all around wisecracker. He spent 36 years working at Wee Willie's. Passed away early on Easter morning, as I mentioned. If you've listened to WGCL for any length of time over the last few years, David Hayes and I, when I was doing Your Money with David Hayes with him every Saturday morning, the time always varied of when we would start. Certain time period, we'd start at 8 o'clock in the morning, some we'd start at 8:30, some at 9. It kind of depended on what was going on with the schedule here, but for nearly a decade, honestly, David and I would meet every morning at Wee Willie's at 7 o'clock when they opened on Saturdays. We would meet, we would prep the show, we would go over any questions, we'd talk. That was our bonding time, jokingly, but seriously. I mean, they great staff, great service, great food. And so at this point, it's undetermined of what is going to happen with Wee Willie's on the south side. The article in the Herald Times, Wathan's co-owner sister, Brenda Lutgens, said that he did everything there. And so her words were, he was just indispensable. So Brenda's husband and another co-owner, Bill Lutgens, their son Troy, manages the Wee Willie's out in Ellettsville, but right now they're trying to focus on things, but they are still determining what is going to be the next step for Wee Willie's on the south side. But I was there 2 weeks ago. I sat at the bar facing the counter. I watched Roy working the deal. And let me tell you, there is something about the lingo of a diner and standing there and two hots, one with, one without, and, you know, cheese on the side. Just the whole way they do it, it's fascinating. And let's just hope for the best for not just the family of Roy Wathan, who passed away, but also the wonderful staff at Wee Willie's on the south side as well. On a much brighter note here, ESPN television personality Sage Steele is going to be speaking May 9th at the commencement at Indiana University. She is a television personality on ESPN, as we mentioned. She's also an IU alumni. She hosts the NBA Countdown, as well as a contributor to ESPN's coverage of major NBA games, and she graduated from Hyper back in 1995. In the HT, she's quoted as saying, she's steadily risen to become one of the most talented, knowledgeable, and respected television presenters working today, and seen success that, quote, reflects her passion for reporting and broadcasting of the highest quality. That comes actually, I apologize, from IU President Michael McRobbie in a news release. Steele has been back to IU several times in recent years to be the recipient of awards and participate in events, and she really credits her time at Indiana University to allowing her to achieve her dreams in the broadcast field. As Julie Warren mentioned last week when she was on, Julie's from Visit Bloomington, and we talked last week about a variety of events taking place now and over the next several weeks in Bloomington and Monroe County. Commencement is May 9th. Undergraduate commencement will be at 10 o'clock at IU Memorial Stadium. Gates open at 8 a.m. Procession begins at about 8:45. There's no tickets and generally no reserved seating for the ceremony. We're just going to hope for good weather because with all of the construction at Assembly Hall and everything else, it may be a little bit of a challenge. Also in local news, Virginia-based software security firm Sigital, if I'm pronouncing that right, they announced a major expansion for its Bloomington location on Tuesday this week with a hiring agenda that could double in size. Bloomington's Sigital office currently has around 30 software security employees, but they're hoping to hire another 30 for associate consultant and associate security architect roles. The company has been around since 1992. They're a national software security leader, and they are located downtown in the Wix building, and hoping for good growth for them as well as some job opportunities for Bloomington and Monroe County residents. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, we'll talk a little bit about 25 years ago and the Ryan White story. But Indiana University School of Public Health in Bloomington, they've announced the creation of a Ryan White and William L. Yarber lecture series that's been in part because of the support of Yarber. He's a nationally and internationally recognized faculty member, scholar, and researcher at the school. And he also serves as the senior director of the school's Rural Center for AIDS and STD Prevention. The lecture series is going to honor the legacy of Ryan White, who, as we mentioned, was a rural Indiana youth who contracted HIV at the age of 13 from tainted blood products used to treat his hemophilia. He became a poster child for HIV and AIDS and died April 8, 1990, 25 years ago this week. The lecture series was established with a $100,000 gift. It is also sponsored by the Rural Center for AIDS and STD Prevention. And there's going to be more about this throughout the coming weeks, but a great opportunity to honor this young man and continue telling his story. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about giving hope and April being Donate Life Month. We'll talk about the idea of organ transplantation, how it works, how you can be an organ donor, answer some of the fallacies that come with it, and give you some interesting statistics also about what is involved in donating, the financial cost, and things like that, much more, and plenty to talk about over the next little bit. So stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here on your Friday night or Saturday morning if you're waking up to us here on WGCL. Thanks so much for tuning in and being part of your favorite local radio station here at 96.1 FM and AM 1370. As I mentioned a little bit ago, April is Donate Life Month. And for many people in Bloomington, there is a connection directly or indirectly with someone who has received an organ transplant, a cornea transplant, an eye transplant. I mean, there are a variety of things that can be transplanted to save someone's life. Organs, eyes, tissues, variety of things. And I wanted to share a little bit about this because it is, as I mentioned earlier, something close to me and my family. I work for the Children's Organ Transplant Association here in Bloomington, a wonderful organization, nearly 30 years of existence, more than $75 million has been raised to help kids and young adults all over the country who need life-saving transplants. 100% of what is raised goes for transplant-related expenses. It's a wonderful business model that allows us to truly give a complete and total 100% impact on all of the families that we work with. And we've worked with thousands of kids in all 50 states. Some folks who have been in Bloomington for a number of years remember that this started with one little boy in Bloomington, and that we're now in the thousands of who we have helped in all 50 states. So that being said, I want to talk just for a couple of minutes, so I appreciate you indulging me here, to talk about organ transplantation and just some statistics of how things work and so on. A lot of this comes from Donate Life. They're the ones who head up Donate Life Month every April, and talking about registering to become an organ donor. There are more than 24,000 patients who began new lives in 2014 thanks to organ transplant donations. That's about 65 people a day. That's a great number. However, there's nearly 124,000 people in the United States currently waiting for an organ transplant. More than 1,000 of them are 10 years of age or younger. So it is a small percentage on the pediatric side, but it is still an important number to consider. Nearly 58% of patients waiting life-saving transplants are minorities, and on the average, about 150 people are added to the nation's organ transplant waiting list each day. So that averages out to be about one every 10 minutes. So in this hour of this program, six people will be listed for an organ transplant. On the unfortunate side, in that hope of being listed, approximately 21 people pass away every day because the organs that they need are not donated in time. Now, a living donor can save a life by donating a kidney. They can donate a portion of their liver, their lung, their pancreas or their intestine. There are wonderful opportunities where you can be an organ donor and still retain part of your body, so to speak. Most everyone in the world, but there are always medical exceptions to this, has two kidneys. So there are a lot of people who are able to give the gift of life through donating a kidney, and most humans are able to function with just one kidney. Now, each year there are approximately 30,000 tissue donors. There's more than 1 million tissue transplants performed each year, and the surgical need for tissue is steadily on the rise. A single tissue donor can save or heal up to 50 people. That's amazing to me that one person can give that gift to 50 different people. If you're talking about eye donations, if you're talking about corneal donations, nearly 50,000 patients have had their sight restored through corneal transplants each year. More than 121 million people, that's approximately 50% of the U.S. adult population, are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. Now, one of the things that I experience and get questioned about periodically is because we are a fundraising organization at CODA. But occasionally somebody asks something on the other side of the fence, and they want to know if there are any criteria about being an organ donor. It's case-by-case basis, I can tell you that much. Number one is that you as an individual need to indicate that that is your wish to your family. It's great to put it on your driver's license, but ultimately your family makes that decision. If you are incapacitated and if you pass away, they are ultimately the ones who let the medical team know that you wish to be an organ donor. There are a lot of factors that go into it if you are going to be a living donor, if you're going to donate one of your kidneys or a portion of your liver, things like that. There's a lot of medical testing that goes in there. There's a lot of things that go in and are involved in the psychological testing of it to make sure that you are capable of doing this and understanding the impact of what you're doing and all of that. There's also the physical testing, if you will. You need to make sure that the physicians need to make sure that you're compatible with the donor. There are great things that happen that we are privileged to see every so often where there are donations, organ donations that occur in a pyramid or in a rectangle where there are multiple people where person A wants to donate to person B, but they're incompatible. But person C can donate to person B if person A can donate to person D. So you get a few people mixed into the loop. Ultimately, with good luck, good medicine, and good belief in a higher power, you may be lucky and be so fortunate as to get some in that kind of situation. Bloomington has had a variety of residents that have made local news as transplant recipients. There's a lot of more information about this if you go to donatelife.net. But again, the numbers are there. And again, the main thing that I can tell you about is simply telling your family what your wishes are. It does not mean that if you pass out on the floor that you're going to be an organ donor just like that. The medical profession does do their best to save your life and give you a quality of life. It's when in those unfortunate situations, when someone passes away, that conversation is taking place, and you can make a true impact on another family by giving a second chance at life through organ donation. So again, talk with your families about this. This is not something that is a lighthearted subject, but it is a subject that a lot of people experience, and you never know when that situation may rise up. I've had the experience of talking with families where children are born with some kind of physical ailment, and they know right away that a transplant is going to be in the future. There are other situations where kids are outside playing and having a ball and, you know, living a normal life, so to speak, and 2 weeks later they've contracted a virus that has attacked an organ, and they are in the hospital waiting for an organ transplant. Things can happen at the drop of a hat. So my point with all of this is talk with your families, check out donatelife.net, become a registered organ donor, give the gift of life when you can. That's all I'm going to say about all of that. But if you've got any questions, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, let me know. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a little history lesson from Indiana. 25 years ago, Ryan White passed away, and it was just an interesting time, not just in the state of Indiana, but across the country. And we'll give you a little bit of history lesson there on that before we get into sports and wrap up the show. Stay with us. Jim Inman here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you. Mr. David Piller on assignment, but should be back in the studio next week. So hopefully we will see him and hear him and talk to him and all of that good stuff. But you got me for the next little bit, and I appreciate you joining us. If you're catching us on Friday night or Saturday morning, thanks so much for tuning in here to WGCL. As I mentioned, a little bit of a history lesson here because I think it's an important situation. This is something that I grew up with. This is a news story, not in the same vein as the death of Princess Diana, the Berlin Wall. Those were world news, but yet this was world news at the time, back in 1990. Kids today may not know the name Ryan White if they've grown up in Indiana over the last, or were born after the year 1990. But those of us who have been around here for 30, 40 years and older definitely remember the name Ryan White. As I mentioned earlier on the show, Ryan White was a resident of Indiana who, when he was a young man, was diagnosed with hemophilia, a blood disorder. And in 1984, he had a blood transfusion that he needed because he was a hemophiliac. And at the time, this was in the very early stages of AIDS and HIV. And he was, he contracted the disease. And it made state, Midwest, national news at the time because of the uncertainty of the illness and that he was banned from his school, could not attend because of the unknowns at the time, the illness, how it was contracted, how it could be spread, and was simply not welcome. And his mother, Jeannie, fought for his right to attend public school. So fast forwarding a few years from when he was diagnosed in 1984, to April 8th, 1990, when the world focused on Indiana, particularly the area of Cicero, Indiana, and the Indianapolis area. 1,500 mourners attended the funeral of Ryan White. This is back in the days, as I mentioned, before social media, before Facebook, Twitter, smartphones, where you can tweet and send photos instantly like that. The national news was CNN at the time. They lined the streets of Meridian up in Indianapolis for a half a mile. CNN was the only 24-hour news operation, and it brought in figures from all different walks of life. First Lady Barbara Bush attended, Michael Jackson, Elton John. There were more. There was Phil Donahue from television, football star Howie Long. A lot of these people who came because of the story of Ryan White and being touched by everything that he went through as a young man. Kind of interesting, though, the Indianapolis Star had an article about the funeral experience of Ryan White, talking about renting the grand piano for Elton John, who sang Skyline Pigeon at the ceremony, at the funeral ceremony, how they laid Ryan White to rest in a coffin of knotty pine, and just the experience of even of the family talking with Barbara Bush, who, you know, in 1990 was the first lady of the country. And she had been sequestered a little bit by the Secret Service at the funeral home. And she got out of her room and went and talked to Jeannie White Grinder, because Barbara Bush and her husband, George Bush, had a child that passed away of leukemia at age of three. And the Indianapolis Star article talks about how the two mothers bonded before the funeral of Ryan White. Again, when you think back to that time and all that has come since then, the recognition of the illness, the medical advances, but still no cure, it's a humbling piece of Indiana history to look back on this experience. But as Jeannie White said in the article, one of the things that she remembers most is the 25-mile drive to Hamilton County Cemetery, 187 cars, six local law enforcement agencies providing the motorcade. And she said, for all of the celebrity fuss and national news that came about the passing of Ryan White, it was the Hoosiers who stood on Highway 31 from Indianapolis up to Cicero, pulled off on the side of the highway, people in their cars with their hands and their caps over their hearts and saluting and all of that. It's just an amazing experience. So tying in to what we mentioned in news earlier about the Ryan White lecture series and all of that, hard to believe, 25 years ago, that the world focused on Indiana and this young man, and have no idea if he realized the impact that he would have on generations to come. We're going to take a break, come back with some sports, wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Well, if you didn't tune in last week to the Final Four, you missed out on three tremendous games up in the Indianapolis area. Of course, Duke took out number 7 Michigan, 81-61. Not a huge surprise in that one. And, you know, Mike Krzyzewski, phenomenal coach, and, you know, protege of Bobby Knight, all of that stuff. So not a huge surprise there. The big one, the big one, the big blue one, was the Wisconsin-Kentucky game, with Wisconsin coming out 71-64 over the undefeated UK team. Now, we're not going to point fingers or anything like that. We're better than that here on the show. But there was a huge cheer, I believe, across the state of Indiana in that game. So what does that mean? It put Duke up against Wisconsin, and it was a tough one, but Duke came out on top, as we all know, 68-63. Great game. It was a good experience. And from everything I've heard about Indianapolis and the Final Four, just like the Super Bowl from a few years ago, people love the experience of playing basketball in the Final Four in the big city, in the Circle City. So we'll see what happens as we move forward and all of that, and we'll talk here in just a minute about some things with the IU Hoosiers. But I texted some friends who live in Colorado that have a Wisconsin connection. They were happy to make it to the final game, but obviously disappointed at the end. But regardless, nice season. And thanks again to Meineke Car Care Centers and to all of our listeners who tuned in here to WGCL and were listening in on the whole March Madness here on the show, or on the station. Speaking of NCAA basketball, NBC Sports announced earlier this week that Indiana received a nice boost on Wednesday afternoon when forward Troy Williams announced that his decision to return to IU for his junior season. Posted that on his Instagram page. According to multiple outlets, Williams came to his decision after consulting with both head coach Tom Crean and Uncle Boo Williams. This is an important piece of news for our Hoosiers. They're still awaiting the NBA draft decisions from guards Yogi Ferrell and James Blackman Jr. Troy Williams led the Hoosiers in rebounding. He was their third leading scorer in 2014 and 15. He averaged 13 points a game, 7.4 rebounds per contest, and he started 28 out of 32 games that he played in. So his return, hopefully, is going to mean Indiana will have that front court depth that it lacked this year, with Williams being joined by Hanner Mascaparea and Emmett Holt as returnees, and two quality prospects in Thomas Bryant, Juwan Morgan, and OG Anubai entering the program as well. Speaking of our IU Hoosiers, there was a big ceremony at Indiana University this week, specifically at Assembly Hall, when they had the groundbreaking ceremony for the remodel and construction. IU officials, including former player John Laskowski, current women's player Tyra Buss, Robert Johnson, they all spoke publicly on Tuesday afternoon at the groundbreaking ceremony at the Cook Hall facility. Construction began on Assembly Hall last week. Lots of things going on with that. It was announced last week that Bloomington attorney Ken Nunn made a $2 million gift to the facility. And just a lot of excitement about this. What's going to be going on with all of the construction? You need to tune in Friday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. on Glass in the Morning and listen to Chuck Crabb and all the details with that, because he will give you the true step-by-step of what is taking place at Assembly Hall. The renovation is expected to be completed in the fall of 2016, and the building is going to be renamed the Simon Scott Assembly Hall for alumna. Benefactor Cindy Simon Scott donated $40 million in the department in 2013. There's going to be all kinds of things with the physical side, the heating and ventilation, mechanical, electrical, planning to do some escalators, I believe, updating restrooms and all those kinds of things. So looking forward to a major facelift for Assembly Hall here in Bloomington. So keeping now in the basketball vein, craziness out in New York City. Indiana Pacers forward Chris Copeland, his wife, and another woman were stabbed outside a Manhattan nightclub early Wednesday following an argument on the street near a Chelsea club. It also involved the arrest of two Atlanta Hawks players, according to authorities. This comes to us from the Associated Press. All this took place early morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning, outside the One Oak Club. It's a trendy spot in Chelsea. It's one of those celeb joints. Police said that the couple were arguing on the street as the attacker eavesdropped and started to interfere. Dispute escalated, and then the 22-year-old suspect pulled out a knife and started slashing. Copeland, who's a former player with the New York Knicks, was stabbed in the left elbow and abdomen. His wife was slashed in the arm and across the chest. A third woman who was believed to be with the attacker was slashed in the abdomen. The victims were all hospitalized. They were in stable condition, and more to come with that. The Atlanta Hawks players Pero Antic and Thabo Sefosola, if I'm pronouncing that right, they were arrested on charges of obstructing the crime scene there, and I believe they've got the suspect in hand, and we'll see how it goes. Just flipping through, and didn't catch this part originally. The nightclub's been cited for at least 10 times of altercations and 4 times of noise in 2014, according to a New York Post report. So it's a little bit of a interesting place to be visiting, I guess. I don't know. Indianapolis Colts made a very good decision, and probably a very quick decision, as they exercised their fifth-year option for quarterback Andrew Luck's contract. The expected move comes as a mere formality. Luck had no intentions of going anywhere, nor did the Colts want to let go of the young man and have him sniff out free agency anywhere in the near future. So what this move does is keep him under contract into the next 2 seasons, though a new deal, the mammoth payday, as the Indianapolis Star calls it, will likely come this coming season. Luck's set to earn just $3.4 million for the 2015 season. That's pennies on the dollar for the true market value of a franchise quarterback who's coming off a season in which he set the franchise record for passing yards and led the NFL in touchdowns. So consider that Drew Brees' salary cap hit will be $26.5 million next season. Eli Manning's is going to be $19.7 million. Matt Ryan's $19.5 million. Andrew Luck, $3.4 million. So Luck will be just $7 million. It puts him 19th in the league among quarterbacks. But as stipulated by the scale, this 5-year, $22 million deal with the Colts, there's going to be a lot of things in the future. But I don't think anybody's complaining that Andrew Luck is still going to be up in Indianapolis and sporting the Colts blue. I thought there was one more thing that I was going to share, and I don't know where my cheat sheet. Here's my cheat sheet. I was going to talk about, IU baseball. They're 18-11 now, and 2-6 in conference play. They're on the bottom side of things at the moment. They've had recent losses at home to Michigan and Cincinnati, but tonight, Friday night, begins a 3-day stretch against Rutgers here in Bloomington. They're going over to Terre Haute to play ISU on the 14th, and then back to IU at the BART on the 15th against Evansville, Illinois, the week to follow that. So we'll see how that all shakes out, but hoping our boys in the cream and crimson do well in the coming weeks. We're going to take a break, wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. All righty, everybody. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Menman here. Just a few minutes left in the show. Thanks again for tuning in for the full hour. If you jumped in the middle and you missed any part of the show, you can always go to WGCLradio.com, click on the local shows link, and then go through and catch up on the past shows. The shows from each weekend are usually up and running by Saturday at noon. So if you miss any part of the show on Friday, you can catch us Saturday morning at 8 a.m. right before Your Money with David Hayes. Or go online, WGCLradio.com, and follow us there. And, of course, Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Details there. You can like us. You can comment. Send us anything. Send us something. I don't care. Send me something. Give me some love. I appreciate that. Wasn't that a song? Give me some love. Give me some loving. Hey, weather forecast for the weekend. Friday night, tonight, mostly clear with a low around 38. Saturday is going to be sunny with a high near 61. And then on Saturday night, patchy frost before 9 p.m., otherwise partly cloudy, a low around 41 degrees. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 70. Early next week, it's looking like about a 40% chance of rain Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So a wet, soggy early start to next week in the spring. But it's also making the grass green. And if you've paid any attention to your yard or when you're walking through the park or walking on campus or anything, you're probably seeing the flowers really starting to perk up and get out there. My grandmother has always said that you don't plant your spring flowers, the ones that you get at the floral shop, until around Mother's Day. That way you're truly covered. Most likely there's not going to be any more frost or any crazy weather or anything like that. So all your weather all the time, WGCL, WGCLradio.com as well. Julie Warren was on the show last week. She always gives us great stuff to share with our listeners. And we've got the Friday weekend. Check this out from Visit Bloomington. And you can visit Bloomington.com for more details of what's going on. On the calendar for the weekend, Brent Morin from Undateable is going to be at the Comedy Attic. Been chomping at the bit to get back, he says. And the feeling's definitely mutual. He's appeared on Conan O'Brien, Adam Devine's House Party, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Chelsea Lately. So if you want to check that stuff out, it's at the Comedy Attic, Friday and Saturday evenings, 8 and 10:30 shows. The Saturday, the 11th, it's the 5th Annual Bloomington Craft Beer Festival. Julie talked about this last week as well. 1 p.m. early bird arrival, 2 p.m. is general admission. The Brewers of the Indiana Guild return to Woolery Mill here in Bloomington on the south side. 50-plus talented Hoosier Brewers, they're going to bring hundreds of craft beers for the public to enjoy. You got to be 21 and older. Keep that in mind. Again, it benefits the Brewers of Indiana Guild. They're a nonprofit that supports all of Indiana's craft brewers. So come check out the Spring Beer Fest. Admission is $40. If you get there 2 o'clock or later, if you get there at 1 o'clock for the early bird, it's $60. Now, Julie, I'm going to have to check you out on that because I'm wondering if you got the prices flip-flopped. So we'll ask about that. But check visitbloomington.com for more details there. The African American Dance Company Spring Concert is going to be taking place at the Buskirk Chumley on Saturday the 11th at 8 p.m. Tickets are $20 for that. The African American Dance Company, they do a variety of dance styles, and the repertoire includes original choreography. There's modern dance, jazz, African and Latin American styles mixed in as well. Also this weekend, put the running shoes on because it's the Hoosier Half Marathon starting at 8 a.m. It's going to be going through downtown, part of campus as well. You can also do a 5K run and walk. $70 for the marathon if you haven't signed up, and I think they're about sold out on that. $30 for the 5K run, $25 for the 5K walk. You register at the IU Alumni Center for that. And one more here before we head out. Sunday, April 12th, the Orchestra University at the IU Mac Center. That's a free program taking place at 3 o'clock. And then Family Day at the IU Mathers Museum is going to be going on at 2 p.m. Admission is free for that as well. So if you're interested in any of that stuff, again, visit Bloomington.com. Check all of that out, and you can find things there. Much more as well. You can just search all the way. And as Julie said last week, if you've got something coming up that you want to share, you can do it right there as well. Thanks again for indulging me on the history lesson with Ryan White, and also about Donate Life and becoming an organ donor. This is the month to do it, the month to talk about it. It is a wonderful opportunity to give hope to another family, another individual. So talk with your loved ones about it, and you just be prepared and all of that. Thanks so much for tuning in, and enjoy your weekend, everybody. Don't wash the car. There's rain coming next week, but you can still get outside and have a great day. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.